The sermon title is called The Life of One Who Ministers. I'm assuming something. I'm assuming that you have a ministry. I just assume it because you know the Lord. The majority of people here know the Lord. And so therefore, there is something about your life that God is calling forth that so I call this the life of one who ministers. And here's the question. What should the life of the one who ministers, God's power and God's love, what does his life look like? What does her life look like? How do you recognize traits like that? Well, I know, just for example, one of the great lessons to learn is how to satisfy God's heart. You know, we say, well, how did you enjoy the song service? That's not the right question. Did we satisfy God's heart? What about this? What about we went out witnessing? No, but did we satisfy God's heart? And one of the things to do, whatever we do, we must first of all satisfy his heart. And we usually do that through praise and worship, right? We lift our hearts and our hands to Christ, and we say, Lord, we bless you and we praise you. We welcome you. And so all of a sudden, the worship is alive and vibrant because of we understand that that's incense to him. Praise and worship is not something you do before the sermon. It's this whole opportunity to please the Lord with our praise and our worship. And you learn how to do that. That's not something that you're born with. I think it's something that you learn how to do that. You spend the rest of your life satisfying the heart of the Lord. You get up in the morning and say, Lord, I just want to bless you and praise you and thank you. And I want, you know, and as you learn to do that, you grow in the things of the Lord. And it's just more of what you are in this ministry that God has given you and given me as well. So I thought there's probably five things to consider. Maybe there's 50 or 500, I don't really know. But I know as I look at my own heart and life that I think these things are probably how it would be laid out. So number one, we start with the release of the Holy Spirit. And the reason we do that is because that's where Jesus started. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. It's quite a thing. It's talking about Jesus. And he was praying. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And the voice said, you are my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. But the Holy Spirit descended. Every day I need to have that same filling of the Spirit. You do. We all do together. The Spirit would descend on me. The Spirit would descend on you. And it's not optional. It's not some Pentecostal thing. It's for all and for whoever. It's just what we need. And Jesus, interesting enough, didn't do any signs or wonders or miracles before that one point of his life where he's standing there and he's praying and the Spirit descends upon him. And as the Spirit descends upon him, he is filled with the Spirit and then he begins his public ministry. But not before. Isn't it interesting? You'd think there would be an opportunity before. No. It was when it happened, but everything changed once the Spirit of God came down upon him. Jesus told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit before they went out to minister for him. Luke 24, 49 says, stay until you are clothed with power from on high. The greatest thing I need is a daily filling of the Spirit of God that I would have something to minister out of, a strength to minister out of. So, we receive power. We can't touch people. We can't bless people. We can't heal people. We can't deliver people. We can't do anything for anybody unless there's a strong anointing on your life and on your heart for all of us. Not again, not just the mature saints, but for all of the saints. We can't bless people that way. Even witnessing, we can't do that. And so we think of God's loving concern for humans, and then he says, but wait until you're filled with the Spirit. Don't go out, you know, in every direction until the dove has descended. Because even though you say, surely Jesus could have, yes, I'm sure he could have done anything in his own strength, but he chose not to. So all of us need to be working under the complete control of the Holy Spirit. And that requires us pausing and saying, Lord, even for this one little task, I need your strength and I need your power. So I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the release of the Holy Spirit. Dennis Bennett, you remember him, late 60s, he wrote a book, a number of books, on this whole thing about the release of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it. I believe that's what is necessary. I think of Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. How much more, if God is a good God and he gives good gifts to his children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So I assume that it's just a very simple thing. It's not complicated. All we do is we're aware that we're bankrupt. We're aware that we need an anointing on our hearts and on our lives. What do we simply ask? In one way, it's no big deal. In other ways, it's colossal. It's colossal because all I have going for me, it's not my personality. It's not my this or that or this or that other thing. It's the Spirit of God on my life and your life. You need the Spirit of the Lord. That's the crucial, absolutely bona fide. That nothing will be more important to your life and ministry of touching people as you minister to people is that the Spirit of God is on you. And you've taken time for the Lord to work in your heart. And there's a song that I don't think we sing it so much in the church, but I remember singing it a year or so ago. Anyway, the line went, open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. And I find the need, you think that with many years of experience, that this would not be essential, that you would know enough. That's the weakness of it all. I mean, that's the problem of it all, is that many times we go on old memories, and there needs to be a freshness of the Spirit so that we can go out in the power of the Lord. And we say, oh, Lord, I even today, if I'm going to go and visit that family, if you're going to go and see those people and you're going to go to that coffee shop, you and say, Lord, as I go, you go before me, fill me, touch me, anoint me. Lord, let the dove come down upon me. And because I've got nothing. Lord, I've got nothing. I can't go with past experience. I can't go with exciting things that happened a while ago or a long time ago, either way. I can't. Lord, oh, Lord, touch me and fill me. And then you go into that coffee shop, and then there's something then the Lord can minister through because the Spirit of the Lord has preeminence, that you're relying on nothing but the Holy Spirit. So that's the starting point. That's where Jesus started. That's where his Heavenly Father thought he should start. Start at Jerusalem. Start with coming before the Lord. And when do we do this? Every day. Every day, just that dependence. Lord, anoint me, fill me. And I've told you this. I think the baptism, next to being saved and knowing Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been a very practical, very helpful thing for me. It's kept me vibrant and, there's an energy that comes. And I find, that's why I encourage people to speak in tongues. If you've never, I just think it's for everybody. We don't put an ounce of pressure on it here in our church, but to me, it's really something. It's really helpful. You know, when you're kind of flat and you're and to be able to have the Lord fill you, and you pray in the Spirit, and you can go all day long. How many know what I'm talking about? You can go all day long, just praising the Lord and thanking the Lord, and speaking in tongues. And again, remember, he that speaks in tongues speaks to God. It's not for each other. It's primarily, in the first sense of it, it's just for all of us that need power in our life. And I don't even argue. I've long quit arguing about people. Well, do you need to have the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, no, let's not argue. I think you need the Holy Spirit in your life, and you probably do. So let's not debate over it. Let's just get it. It doesn't matter. I don't care how you get it. Just get it, because that's the starting point of all of the life of the one who ministers is a complete and total dependency on the Holy Spirit, complete and total. Nothing else we haven't got anything else working for us. All we have is the promise you will be filled when the Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive dunamis power. That's number one. So that's the first thing of the life of one who ministers. Number two, I think that the spiritual condition of our heart really matters. Really matters. I'm emphasizing it especially strong. I know that God forgives, and I know that God forgets. He's a God that, he says, your sins will I remember no more. What a God. I will never remember them again. But there is still, despite that, there is a place to confess and renounce all those areas where we might give demonic powers some type of consent or some type of permission. Who knows how that came about. But I know that if we have, well, just for example, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness it really wrecks you up. Really does. And so there's a place, to renounce and to confess. Unforgiveness, bitterness. It doesn't take a lot to get bitter. Right? It does not take a lot. Bitterness never comes across as bitterness. Bitterness comes across as, I've been taken for a ride. Bitterness is, I'm going to get even. And I say, have you ever been bitter? You might ask me, yes, I have. I have been bitter. And I couldn't, and of course, I blamed the other person for the bitterness. That's the craziness of that. Lord, look what they've done to me. And the Lord says, no, look what they brought out of you. Look what they brought out of you. And that's that. I had to finally, I realized that it wasn't just unforgiveness. It was a root of bitterness. The root of bitterness is a strong, goes deep into your life. And the only way you can do is ask God to deliver you from the root of bitterness. That's the answer that I have for it at any rate. I think of anger and rage. Anger starts first, and then the rage comes in afterwards. I think of judgment on others, where we pass judgment. Oh, yeah, them, yeah. Well, we know about them, don't we? And all of a sudden, we're kind of judgmental and critical. Say, well, I told the truth. Yeah, you did, and I did too, but there's something about that rage and anger that needed to be repented. I think of revenge. I mentioned that, but that's so serious. I think of sexual sins and unforgiveness. And, we could probably draw a list up of 75 things that are common to people. And so when that happens, we create a door. We create a window that the enemy can begin to attack us and to condemn us. And because we're not any good for anybody once some of these roots start growing. So we open up to all areas of where there's been failure, failure to love, failure to care, lots of failures, and sins, things that I didn't ever ask the Lord for cleansing and forgiveness. So what do? We simply ask God to cleanse us by His blood. Again, I can do that. You know what has to change. I know what has to change. We don't have to be particularly clever or bright for this. Just think about it for a minute. What area of your life? And it's quite simple. But you can carry things for years. Just a little bit of, say, well, I don't, I forgive them, but I haven't forgotten about it. No, you can't grow with that. I don't want to alarm you, but you can't grow at all. And I know in my own heart. So we ask God to cleanse us by His blood. I think of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. What a great verse it is. It said, if we confess, right? If we confess. That's if we confess. Oh, man. And the blood of Jesus and cleanse us from all sin. So powerful. But it starts with if I confess. I don't know about you. Sometimes I find nighttime to kind of go over the day, and if there's been some incident or something that maybe not just quite right, that's a good time. Good time just to go over that. It might be some people, it's in the morning. They just start the day. I don't know the best time. I have a friend that he thinks that the seven deadly sins, you heard about them, the seven deadly sins, he uses that as a kind of a marker, and he goes through it each day just to keep short accounts. I said, were you having a problem in any of these areas? No, I wasn't having any problem. Just that I wanted to make sure each day that I'm starting fresh, that I keep short accounts with God. So he said, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's no reason to drag something around with you. There's no reason to. If you're one who ministers, keep on ministering, but deal with your stuff so that you can have a clean heart and pure hands, and that you there's nothing the enemy can put his hand on. See, that's, well, I'll come to this in a moment here, but that's the essence there. He is looking for some area where you haven't dealt with. He's looking for some area where I haven't dealt with. And you want to settle it as quickly as you can. Don't let the enemy condemn you, because he will. He will condemn you. So, as you think about that, again, don't whip yourself. Don't beat yourself. That doesn't help. But just simply to acknowledge, Lord, cleanse my heart so that when I confront the demonic powers, they must defeat, they must go. Why? Because there's nothing in my heart that I've left. I haven't left the door open. I haven't left something, you know, where they would be able to do it. An attitude, unforgiveness, anything. That's the secret of power. And the enemy comes and we say, out in Jesus' name, he has to go. There's no place for him to rest. And he's seeking him whom he may devour. But there's no place, because you have dealt with and I've dealt with the issues of my life. Number three, I think our aim in our relationship with God is really total intimacy. That's where we're going with it. As we bring people into relationship with Christ and they're baptized in the Spirit and they've cleansed their hearts, and then the next stage of that would be total intimacy. I made this statement. I don't know where I even first heard it, but I think it's true, that Jesus' power came from the Holy Spirit, but his authority came from his intimacy with the Father. I'll say that again. Jesus' power came from the Holy Spirit. I think we would all say amen to that. But his authority comes from his intimacy with the Father. That's very powerful. John chapter 5, verse 19, Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. Doesn't that seem... The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. So we say, Lord, what are you doing? Because we're going to follow you in that. We're going to follow hard after you. And if Jesus couldn't do anything but only what the Father showed him, how much more would that be for us? John chapter 7, verse 16 to 18, again, picks up that same thought again that I just read. So he kept, he kept his will lined up with the Father's will. There is an alignment. Each day we align our everything in us, we align with the Lord. And so I think there's an alignment which ultimately leads to a consignment. We receive something there. Spending time alone in prayer, that's one of the answers for this. Listening to him as we seek to represent him in ministry and in all aspects of our lives. So we must ask ourselves, does this line up with God's will? What I'm venturing out on, does it line up with God, what he's doing? Because I can't line it up with my own will, because I will lead you astray. But learn to hear and follow the Father's will. You may run across somebody and you just sense a burden coming from their heart. I'm just trying to use homey illustrations, but you just sense that maybe they were going through a difficult time, although you didn't have any reason to know that. You just felt that you should go and pray for that person. You say, no, I mean, it'd be wrong, and I don't think they know me very well. Can't just go and pray for somebody, can you? You can just go. I mean, how presumptuous of us that we would go and we'd pray for somebody. Yikes. And yet that persists, and then you line up your will. Lord, is this your will? Do you want me to go and talk to that person? But what if what if I'm wrong? What if they say, no, I'm fine. Why are you asking me? How many of you know that? You know, that's just kind of a scary moment. The Lord is asking you to minister for him. And you have now this opportunity to be obedient, to step out beyond your comfort zone, or to stay safe and not have any adventure at all in your life. But suppose we say, okay, Lord, I don't know, this is kind of crazy, but this is what you want. I'm your huckleberry, right? Here I am. So you venture off and say, you know, excuse me, I just couldn't help when we were talking there. You seemed quite discouraged. I don't even hardly know you. I've met you, but don't even know you. So I was just wondering if there's anything I could pray with you about. I can remember doing that, and I didn't say, and I'm a pastor, by the way. No, I didn't say, I just wonder if I could pray with you. You break into tears and collapse on the floor, like down on their knees, right? Just overwrought with tears and sadness. And said this story that they had told me about that had happened. And they couldn't even concentrate at the conference. They were so overwhelmingly bothersome of what had happened. And I thought, you know what? What if I wouldn't have? What level of despair that person might have got themselves into? We don't know, right? But there was an opportunity to be obedient. So line up your will with the will of the Father. It was the Lord's will for someone to go and comfort her and to encourage that person and to share, you know, some comfort from God. And there you are. You're the one that God's doing it. Because in the morning, you lined up your will with his. Lord, I've come to do your will. That's why I'm here. I've come to do your will. I've come to do your will. And you get that clear and straight in your mind. Then we're open to the supernatural, and it's very powerful. To bring release to somebody. Boy, that's powerful. You know one thing about the Reverend Ed Hurd, my friend, and he's been around here a long time too, but he has a boldness about him that I could take lessons from. I told you this already, but we were going over for a coffee and after a prayer meeting, and we were walking just by McDonald's, and I said, oh, Ed, this is so-and-so, and he said, oh, nice to meet you. Do you know Jesus? Well, let's not beat around the bush on this thing, right? Do you know Jesus? And I'm thinking, oh, maybe not here. This is a pretty busy spot here. My office is just over here, I'm thinking, you know. And, yeah, I know it, Jesus. Have you known him for long? Yeah, not very long, it's just a year maybe or so. I said, oh, are you baptized in the Spirit? And they said, what? What? They didn't even know what it was. What? You're baptized in the Spirit. Do you speak in tongues? So he had asked them about three questions. And they said, well, why don't we just pray? Well, they're looking for their bus. See, the bus is coming, but we don't intend letting the bus get in the way. You know, though, that person appreciated that prayer. He said, Lord, thank you that so-and-so knows you, and I pray that they'll be filled with the Spirit. God bless you. God bless you. And off we went. And I thought, I can learn lessons here. That's bold as a lion. Just totally unconcerned about that. Just let the concerning thing is that to do the will of God. And so that's, if it's true of him, it's true of all of us. This is not just for the few. It's not just for the clergy, but to be led of the Lord. And in many cases, to step out more than what we have done in the past. Number four. Oh, let me get back up just a little bit here. We can confidently minister in such a way as to expect God to work in people's lives. I think this would be a goal for you, a goal for me, that we begin to expect that we're surprised when nothing has happened for a while. Say, I thought there's nothing too much happening. But I'm trusting that every time I go out, there surely in 1.5 million people live here, there must be a number of people that need some encouragement. There must be somebody that's in despair when I hear what the suicide rate is. And so surely God is raising up an army of people to be able to minister, to go in Jesus' name, right, in the strength of the Spirit, and say, Lord, lead me to the right. I'm expecting it, Lord. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm born again. That's why I'm anointed by God. I'm not here so I can have a bless me club. I'm here, Lord, because there are people that are in desperate straits that have never heard an intelligent response, intelligent explanation of the gospel. They have not heard it. They heard religious things, but not the Lord's message. So, as we're going to be leaving here in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you something when I come to that point, for you to say, God, I want to come to the place in my life where I expect you to do things. And as long as your life is lining up with his, then you're on track. You know that for sure. Number four, an awareness that there is a spiritual war going. Many are very unaware. That would be a good word. Unaware that there's a war. 1 John chapter 5, not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle of John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know we are from God. Oh, let me back. We know we are from God. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Two contrasts. We know we are from God. He made us his very own. He purchased us. He's written us in the Lamb's book of life. We know we are from God. And then there's the other side of it. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Wow. There's this war in the spirit realm. And we're well behind enemy lines. We're way beyond where the comfort area is. There's a war going on for people's minds. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13, he tells us some things that are so important and so helpful. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there's a war going on. Spiritual war. Warfare. The world has no inclination of it because they're caught up in it. And Christians, for the most part, are quite naive too. Or maybe we don't want to know what's going on. That could be. But I think of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, see, the devil goes around like a roaring lion. A roaring lion. For what reason? Seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. That's his job. That's what he does. And here we are, like lambs, like among the wolves. There's nothing. See, we don't go in our own strength. We've got nothing to offer. It's only the Spirit. It's only the Word of God. It's only a yielded life. It's all we have. And we go forth into our world, getting on a subway or on the train or on the bus, meeting people, your neighbor, not sure all the things that are going on in their life, but here you are. And here's this enemy seeking to draw people away from Jesus and away from God in all aspects. And so there's this opposition. Oh, and I can, you know how, usually it works like this for me. Just before God uses me, it's always a difficult moment. And just after. In other words, if Brian says, oh, and I want you to share your testimony, or I want you to do this and this, and next week. And so I say, okay, I'll do that. Well, that will be 1 week, a difficult week, usually. I say, why? Because the enemy doesn't want me to do that. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe Val and I are bickering, or something else has happened, and we say, what's going on? Well, it's because I'm going to share something. I'm going to expose the enemy's darkness. And so that's when that happens. So sometimes it's before. Or sometimes it's afterwards. And you, even when people get baptized, it's funny, just before they get baptized, I mean, that week, it's always the same. I'm not sure I'm going to get baptized, Pastor. Oh, I thought you were so excited about it. Yeah. I think I'm going to maybe watch it this time. And I said, and you know what happened? They had a terrible, terrible week when they announced they were going to get baptized. and a discouraging week, I mean. It was just really discouraging for them, and they wanted not to, and in many cases they don't. They said, no, I think I'm just going to wait it out a little bit. I said, you know, it'll be at the end, and they've come out of the water, and they're glowing, right? So excited about being able to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And but by Tuesday, Pastor, I think I'm not saved anymore. You know, I got this happened and that happened, and I swore, and you know, I was drinking a bit, and I don't think this thing's going to work. And we walk them through it and say, oh, no, it'll work. It'll work. You've just been under attack. What? Yeah, under attack. Spiritual attack. And the more we walk close to the Lord, the more we can discern that there's battles going on. That person wanted to, in the worst way, get baptized. What happened? An enemy attack to thwart them and their desire to slow them down so they could kind of take the hue off the rose. So pretty soon, it doesn't sound like a good idea at all. And, I could tell you hundreds, not a couple, hundreds of stories just like that where they've come to know the Lord and the enemy discourages them from going forward. And it's always, they say, oh, the enemy is at work. Now, not that we blame everything on the devil. That's probably another extreme that we have to be careful about. But we don't blame everything on him. But we're not ignorant, though, of his devices. So we're aware. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, I don't know if it's in your notes or not, but I made a sub-note to it. We're not to act as civilians. Not when it comes to these things. We're in a war, spiritual war, that God wants us to be used by him. And so we're not civilians. We're in the army of the Lord. And number 5. Lastly, we need to know just who we are. We need to know just who we are. Our true identity. One of the areas why we have victory is because we know who we are. We know that we're children of the King. We belong to Jesus. That's our true identity. And I think of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, where he says that, or where the writer says, that we come with confidence, we approach the throne with confidence. You can't approach the throne confidently if you have doubts. You have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been filled with your Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a victor and not I'm not defeated. I belong to you, Lord. And when you know that you know that you know that you know, then it's a powerful, then you can approach the throne with boldness, knowing that you have authority and you're known by the Lord, and the enemy knows who you are too. I've often thought, I remember there was a fellow that got saved, and this is how he did. He was brand new. I know him. I mean, this is somebody I know. He would say, well, good morning, God the Father. Not quite sure about how this works, right? Good morning, God the Father. Oh yeah, good morning, Lord Jesus Christ who died for me. Yeah, good morning, Jesus Christ who died for me. Oh, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning. Good morning, devil. I'm up. I'm up. I said, wow, that's a great, I said, did someone tell you that? No? He said, tell me what? Tell you what? I said, no, never mind. What insight? Devil, I'm up. I wonder if the devil knows you're up. I wonder if he knows I'm up. Or is my life so mediocre that he knows I'm up, but he doesn't care because of these 5 things have not been dealt with. I wonder. And so we want to make it known, not that we would be making silly boasts like, but as a baby Christian, that's classic. I'm up. And I'd like to think that there's some trouble in hell, isn't there, when we get up? That there's some, the saints are gathering. Oh, no, they're gathering at Valley Church. And they're going to come and they're going to clothe themselves in praise and light. The light. They're going to clothe themselves in light. They're going to bless my name. They're going to testify. They're going to, they're going to have that communion. And so even that, we're not surprised about this thing because their forces are going on. And so our authority becomes even more crucial. We are children of God. And therefore, we're on the winning side. So as I close, we've got just the right amount of time. Tell us a little of your journey that you have found that I've just given us five things to walk through. These are things that make a difference. This is the life of those that minister. This has to be there. For example, this week I'm going to be at a conference. Well, there'll be a chance to encourage each other. But there's many, many more opportunities than that. Life is made up of, you're going into the garage and you get something, and next thing there's a conversation, and amazing things can happen if you see yourself as a minister. So, what have you found helpful? I was thinking of, Crystal, I was thinking of you today as I look back there. What have you found helpful regarding the Holy Spirit? Yes.
But I surrender every day my will to the will of God. I think that's very important. To know that it's not my will today, it is your will. I want to be in your plan. I want to be in your purpose for my life. This is how I pray every morning. And I always pray also that I come to obedience. I come to the obedience and the strengthening of the blood of Jesus Christ. For this day, just for this one day,
yes.
I want to walk in your plan, not my plan, in your will, not my will. Because I find that is my daily prayer every morning.
I kind of wish I would have said that, but you did. That's powerful. Wow. Yes. Thank you, Crystal. Just the authority, I could feel my heart and my spirit lifting. Now, just for this one day, we don't store it up today. Be filled with the Spirit today. That's one day. That was great. Anybody else? Hard to keep up with that, but it was. And she didn't even have time to think about it. I put her on the spot right away. That's what we love about you. You're very spontaneous. Okay, somebody else. Just. Yes, that's powerful. That's excellent. Yes. Yeah. Somebody else. Yes. Yeah. These resources are ours in Christ, aren't they? They're given to us by Christ. Somebody else. Yes.
Same period of time.
Well, that day thing seems to be coming forth here. As a, you know, it's this one day that we yield. And then we yield again the next day and the next day. Yeah. These are tried and true formulas, but it's not formulas. It's actually a person that we're engaging with. So we'll take one more. Yeah, please, John. Yes.
Then I go and walk to the Father.
Yeah.
To me, I have to have that every morning.
Yes. Yeah. Every morning. Yeah. And it should be the exception where we miss, not the. I mean, we've all missed the sun, the day starting, right? We did get off to a bad start, and we're just swerving all over the road for the rest of the day, trying to catch up to the late start. But if we can be disciplined to the point of, Lord, I want to read those verses and share that song, it's very powerful. I can always tell when I should have spent some time in prayer, and I didn't. I'm running on E. Ever felt that? Just kind of running on E. And I should have got that earlier. But he's loving and faithful and kind. He doesn't kick you when you're down. He just, come on, dust yourself off. Let's go. And away you go again the next day. So, is there one more and then we'll close? But if you don't, if you neglect that voice, then we suffer. Each day.
It's fresh. Our days start fresh in the Lord, and that's why I am hearing from the Lord each morning. Just to start over again and just welcome every day. And then just start my day knowing that it's a new day again.
Yes, yes. And to be the wonderful thrill of being used by God when you know that it had nothing to do with you. That's a thrilling thing, right? To say, God, you would use me to pray for that, or to visit that person. And it's fantastic. What a way to live as ministers. We're all ministers. So, Lord, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Bless us, we pray. Lord, I pray that we'll be clothed with power from on high. Let there be a new anointing upon us. We pray, Lord, you'd release the Spirit of the Lord through us. And we'll thank you and praise you. Lord, we've got nothing to offer ourselves. We're bankrupt. But we thank you that you've chosen us. And Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Show us how to walk in obedience and to be filled with you. And we'll thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Coffee pot is out this way. It's a beautiful sunny day. It'll be raining in a few weeks. Take advantage of it. So it's so good to have you here this morning.